ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೇ ಬೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನು ಸುತ್ತದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯ ಪಂಚಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಹೇ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸರಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ. ಕಂಪರ್ಥಂ ಅಹಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನ ಜಂತಮಃ ನಾಶಯಾಮಿ ಆತ್ಮಭಾವಸ್ಥು ಧ್ಯಾನ ದೀಪೇನ ಭಾಷತ. ಟು ಶೋ ದ ಸ್ಪೆಷಲ್ ಮರ್ಸಿ ಐ ಡ್ವೆಲಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಯರ್ ಹಾರ್ಟ್ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರಾಯ್ ದ ಶೈನಿಂಗ್ ಲ್ಯಾಂಪ್ ಆಫ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ದ ಡಾರ್ಕ್ನೆಸ್ ಬೋರ್ನ್ ಆಫ್ ಇಗ್ನರೆನ್ಸ್. ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಫೈನಲ್ ಸ್ಟ್ರೀ ವರ್ಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಸ್ಟ್ರೀ ವರ್ಸ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ವರ್ಸ್ 8, 9, 10, and 11. ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಲೆಟ್ಸ್ ರೀಕ್ಯಾಪ್ಚರ್ ದ ಪ್ರೀವಿಯಸ್ ವರ್ಸಸ್. Krishna sums up his opulences and explains the result of truly knowing those opulences. The result is one becomes a pure devotee. That's the first text 8. Text 9, Krishna describes how pure devotees worship him. Thus, the characteristic of devotees who are worshipping him. And text 10 and 11, actually it should be read together. Krishna describes his reciprocation to the devotees with their loving worship. That is why I think last week some people did not understand why. I already know, you know, I am Krishna Bhakta. Why Krishna wants to give me understanding? No. This is Krishna's reciprocation. How it is not impersonalism, you know. So I just sit down, I just chant, I read, I will know God. No. Krishna consciousness, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, it's a person, God is a person, you are a person. So you do something to know God, doesn't mean God keep quiet, you know. God is going to respond. So how he responds? By giving the understanding how to know him. And now he is saying, to show this devotee special mercy, he is going to destroy the darkness of ignorance with a shining lamp of knowledge. So by reading this translation and so forth, we can understand very simple. In one line we can just summarize everything. Only by devotional service can Krishna be known. Right? That's all. Finish. End of class. Yeah, this is true. This is the understanding. This is the seed point we must understand. Only by devotional service can Krishna be known. Otherwise, very difficult. His inconceivable energy, Maya Shakti, covers our intelligence. So we cannot know him. Because we have been here millions and millions of years, we cannot know him. Only by his energy, his internal energy, he can reveal himself to his devotees. That's why Prabhupada was very, you know, you must admire Prabhupada. When he read this verse, he gave the purport. He starts off by saying, Lord Chaitanya was in Banaras, chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Why? Banaras is, Varanasi is full of Shiva Bhaktas and full of impersonalists. All these people, actually they are very intelligent. They know the Bhagavad Gita, the Vedas, inside out, outside in. Forward and backward, they can tell you everything. All learned scholars. But, no devotional service. No devotional service means, don't know Krishna, cannot realize, cannot have any understanding. They only understand the Vedas, they don't know what. So Krishna is very kind. So he is giving special mercy, the mercy of knowledge. And this knowledge is not obtainable in this books and all that. No, it's not possible. This knowledge only Krishna can give. Only Krishna is able to give you this knowledge. Otherwise you cannot understand what is Krishna, who is Krishna. Only theoretically we know, yeah, Krishna is there, or he is God. But you don't know, because we are covered by millions and millions of years of all this dust covering our hearts. So, first special mercy, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here, this is Prabhupada picked up this story, Prakashananda Saraswati. He is the biggest impersonalist in Banaras at that time. The leader of all the impersonalists. Why did Krishna or Lord Chaitanya give the mercy? There's this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam 5:19:27. Satyam visati atitam atito dinam naiva tadogyat punaratilayata svayam vidyate bhajatam anichatam Ita Pidanam Nijapada Pallavam. What is the meaning? Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead fulfills material desires of a devotee who approaches him with such motives. But he does not bestow benediction upon the devotee that will cause him to demand more benediction again and again. However, the Lord willingly gives the devotee shelter at his own lotus feet, even though such a person does not aspire for it. And that shelter satisfies all the devotee's desires. That is the Supreme Personality's special mercy. See, Krishna, if you approach him, there are two kinds of devotees. One with motivation and one without motivation. Those who are without motivation who approach the Lord get His mercy also. But those who have motivation, example is Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, with a motive. What was his motive? He wanted the whole kingdom. Because his father refused to give him the kingdom. So Dhruva Maharaj prayed to Krishna. And Krishna appeared before him. When Krishna appeared before him, then Dhruva Maharaj realized, I was asking for glass. You know, I was asking for glass. When I had all the diamonds, I could have asked devotion, but I didn't. But this is motivated. Devotional service. This is motivated. But still, Krishna, to show special mercy, he gives him pure devotional service. He shows him everything. He shows him who he is. He appears before him. Even for Narada Muni, he was praying and praying as a maidservant's son. And Krishna did not appear, but the voice, you know, Krishna's voice came and said, no, you're not going to see me now. But you're not ready yet. So Krishna is always there because he wants to give the special mercy. And he gives that mercy. This knowledge he gives. Another verse in the Bhagavatam also similar to why Krishna does this, is 2, 3, 10. Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udara dihi. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one is free from material desires, is free of material desires, or desires to become one with the Supreme, he should engage in devotional service. The key word here is tivrena. Tivrena means by force. By force, no matter what you desire or don't desire, or you want to become God or whatever it is, you must engage in devotional service. Then you are successful. In Chaitanya Charitamrita also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, a devotee may desire something other than service to the lotus feet of the Lord. But if he engages in Lord Krishna's service, Krishna gives him shelter at his lotus feet, even though he does not aspire for it. The Lord says, Krishna says, he, my devotee, is engaged in my service, but he wants the benefits of material sense gratification. Such a devotee is like a person who asks for poison instead of nectar. That is his foolishness of the devotee. But Krishna says, but I am experienced. Why should I give such a foolish person the dirty things of material enjoyment? Krishna is saying, I should give. I am intelligent, I am not foolish. I will not give. Krishna continues to say, it would be better for me to give this devotee shelter at my lotus feet. I shall come to him, I shall cause him to forget all material desires. I shall cause him. Krishna is so kind. That is the kindness of Sri Krishna, Bhagavan. Even though we want all other things, but because we are engaged in devotional service, that's why verse 10, Krishna says, even though they are engaged, and sometimes Prabhupada says they are not so much desirable of taking the instructions of the Guru or the Shastra, Krishna says, I will give it to them. I will force it, tivrena, I will force devotional service upon them. This is Krishna's mercy. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, which we read earlier as Prabhupada Nectar, Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, non-different. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not an incarnation. He is Swayam Bhagavan himself. Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a disguised form. Does it mean that a person who is acting on the stage, let's say he is acting as a hero, and he stopped acting, he is not the same person, he is the same, but he is wearing some kind of disguise. Just like, you are a policeman, you wear a uniform, you are a policeman. You take out the uniform, not policeman, not true. Still policeman, maybe off duty. But Krishna is not off duty, Krishna is always helping, thinking, looking and seeing how to help all the devotees in this material world. That's his duty. He's doing because he's concerned for us. But he remembers us, we forget him. That is the difference. Even as devotees, sometimes we forget. And that is why he goes into the heart and gives the understanding. Oh, yes, Haribol, remember me, I am Krishna, I am God, please. And even if like that also, he will give the shining lamp of knowledge. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very merciful to Prakashananda Saraswati. How was he merciful? Let's read the story. Right? This appears in Chaitanya Charitamrita. In Banaris, Varanasi, all the people there, all is impersonal. They don't believe that God has a form. They don't believe. What they believe is, must read Vedanta philosophy. That's all. And discuss Vedanta philosophy. Nothing else. Then you can know Brahman realization. Then you'll know. Everybody is Narayana. Everybody that is a Hariyasis. He's Narayana, I'm Narayana, you Narayana, everybody is Narayana, but no. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Banaras and he just started chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When he did that, all the people follow him. Followed him. Wow, big crowd. Banaras at that time, 500 years ago, big crowd following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this Mayavadi sannyasi is very jealous, not happy. How can? This sannyasi is running around, not teaching anybody anything, but just chanting only. So they are very unhappy and jealous. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't care, didn't bother about these people. He just did what he had to do. He had to chant and give this Mahaprasadam to everybody. So this was going on and they were criticizing him. So Mahaprabhu was actually living with Chandrasekhar Acharya and eating at Tapana Mishra's house, lunch. He would stay in Chandrasekhar Acharya's house and lunchtime he would go to Tapana Mishra. Tapana Mishra is a benediction. He says, Mahaprabhu, you must only eat at my house. Mahaprabhu says, okay, why? Mahaprabhu did not want to eat in all the other Mayavadi sannyasi's house. That's why. He didn't want to eat. Only in devotee's house, you must eat. There's another lesson for us. Don't eat anywhere. Eat in Vaishnava's house. Or you cannot find Vaishnava, cook yourself. Never mind. One day I go here. One day I go there. Never mind. But like that, you won't get Krishna conscious devotee. Loving devotional service doesn't take root. Doesn't take root. You can say, yes, I will do this. No. There's no compromise in Krishna consciousness. No compromise. Who wants to compromise? Sorry, you know. Cannot compromise. That's why, even though we chant, it is so easy, it's difficult. Because we don't compromise. Other people compromise. We don't compromise. We cannot compromise. You want to go back to Godhead? In this very life? Follow rules and regulations. If you can't even do sadhana bhakti, how you want to do raga noga bhakti? Spontaneous. Cannot. Not possible. Not easy. Anyway, let's go to the story. So, these two devotees, Chandrasekhar Acharya and Tapana Mishra, when they go out, all the other Mayavadi sannyasis will criticize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Oh, this sannyasi no good, you know, he's not doing proper etiquette, nothing, blah 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 blah, everything. Scolding. Insulting. So, Tapana Mishra and Chandrasekhar Acharya came back and pleaded with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Oh Lord, how long can we go on tolerating all this Vaishnava aparat? You know, they are criticizing you. My heart is breaking. Our heart, we can't take it. We want to commit suicide. How can we keep quiet? Mahaprabhu kept quiet. Like he heard all this, he kept quiet. He remained silent. Because something is going to happen now. The Maharashtra Brahmana, there was one Brahmana who was also a devotee. And he knew Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He knew. But he wanted, you know, his heart, he wanted this Mayavadi sannyasis to become devotees. See? A devotee always desires this, you know, devotee always says, no, no. How can everybody suffer in this material world? Somehow or other, we must make everybody devotee. Everybody must go back to Godhead. So this thinking like that, this Brahmana came to the house of where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying and pleaded with him. Mahaprabhu, I invited all the the Mayavadi sannyasis to my house for lunch. You know? And my desire is that you also come to my house and have prasad. I know that you will not mix with this Mayavadi sannyasis. But I beg you, be merciful. Make this one exception. Please come. The Mahaprabhu said, since my other devotees already say, you know, Tapana Mitra and Chandrasekhar Acharya said, you know, oh, they already requested, somehow or other I must do something. So Mahaprabhu said, okay, I accept the invitation, I will go. So next day, Mahaprabhu went to this Maharashtrian Brahmana's house. And he saw all the sannyasis of Banaras seated in their house. Because this Brahmana made a big pandal, you know, everybody, you know, all sitting, waiting to take prasad. So Mahaprabhu went to the wash area. So when you come to the temple, there's the wash area. You must wash your feet, your hands, wash your mouth, sprinkle water on your head, and then you come into the temple, right? Yes. This is Vaishnava Vedic tradition. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did the same thing. Even actually, if you enter a house, you're supposed to do that. But nowadays, Kali Yuga, totally different. Anyway, Mahaprabhu went to that place to wash his hands, feet, wash his mouth, sprinkle his mouth. And what he did? He didn't enter the pandal, he didn't enter the house. He sat down there. He sat down there and he just... What he did? He gave out an effulgence from his body, a shining effulgence, like the sun. When the sun comes out in the morning, you see the whole place brighten up, right? So from his body, the effulgence was coming. So the whole place was very bright, bright like anything. All the sannyasis in the pandal and the house all came out. Where is this light coming from? Wow, so, you know, what is this? You know? And then they saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sitting at the wash area. Then this Prakashananda Saraswati, he is the leader, like I told you earlier, the leader of all these sannyasis. He went there, says, please, Your Holiness, now got respect for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Before that, they were all criticizing him. But when they saw the effulgence, they said, hey, better watch it, something wrong here. They went to him and said, reward. Now they said, Your Holiness, why you sit in this unclean place? What? Why you sad? Because usually you sad people, no? Mataji, when they are angry with the husband, they'll go to the kitchen or somewhere and they say, I'm not going to touch anything, you know. But they'll stay at that place. I'm not going to cook. So like that. So they're asking, why are you so sad? He's asking Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why are you so sad? And Mahaprabhu didn't say anything. So Prakashananda Saraswati went there, caught hold of his hand and pulled him up and said, come. Brought him to the pandal and, you know, seated him with great respect. Like Sukadev Goswami was given such a respect among all the devotees. So he was given a great nice seat. Sit down please. Then they said, but Prakashananda Saraswati was very intelligent. You know who this person was? You are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You are Krishna Chaitanya. You are a disciple of Keshava Bharat. Keshava Bharat is our god brother. Is our one of the sannyasis in our sampradaya, in the Shiva sampradaya, Shankara sampradaya. You are in this town for so many days, but you do not associate with us. What is happening? Why? Why you don't? You have accepted sannyas, and you are wasting your time chanting and roaming the roads and the streets, and all the mad people you are having behind you. What's wrong with you? Why you don't study the Vedas? You look like Narayana himself, you are so brilliant, you are effulgent. Why do you accept this low class behavior? Why do you accept these low class people? Those days and in fact now also. I am a Brahmana, you are a Kshatriya, you are that caste, this caste, that, you go away, don't come into the temple. Recently we heard also people are not allowed to go into the Jagannath Puri temple also. And even some South Indian temples, if you don't wear veshti and you are not Indian, please don't come in. Outside there is a notice board, no? Non-Indians cannot come. Foolish, low class. Mentality is still going on. 500 years ago going on, now also going on. So Mahaprabhu says, my dear sir, my reason is, my Guru Maharaj says, I am a fool. Fool number one. He says, you are not qualified to study the Vedanta Sutra. You are a fool. How can you study? You can't even remember anything. You do one thing. You just chant the holy name. You just chant Hare Krishna. That's all. You don't have to do anything else. Then when I did that, I became mad. I became mad with ecstasy. I didn't know what to do. So I went back to my Guru Maharaj, my spiritual master, and I asked him, why is this happening? Maharaj, his Guru Maharaj said, in this age of Kali, there's no other way, and no other way, except chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name. Harinama eva kevalam, alavanashteva, nashteva, nashteva, tattiranya. Right? He quoted this verse to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu realized that. He said, I realized that my chanting gave me ecstasy from the holy name of Krishna. So when I'm chanting, I lose myself. Sometimes I cry, sometimes I laugh, sometimes I'm just like a madman jumping up and down. So I went and back to my Guru Maharaj and I said, you have given me this mantra, I am now chanting like a madman in ecstasy. What should I do? So Guru Maharaj said, you are most fortunate. Because the essence of the Vedas is to know Krishna and to have this ecstasy by chanting the holy name. You have achieved what other people who are reading the Vedanta have not achieved yet. So you don't have to read the Vedanta. You already achieved the goal. That the whole purpose of reading Vedanta, what is Mahaprabhu is telling Prakashananda Saraswati is, your reading of the Vedanta is useless unless you know that you must chant Hare Krishna and become immersed in this holy name and become loving devotional service unto Lord Krishna and have that sweetness whenever you chant the holy name. So he has taught me this. So I believe this and I know it works. So you, all of you, should also take up this. So all the Mayavadis were very shocked and they can see that Mahaprabhu actually exhibited ecstasy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of his causeless mercy, like what we have said the few verses before, Srimad Bhagavatam and all that, even though these people were looking for Krishna, but they were not getting Krishna because they did not have devotional service. He manifested in their heart with the shining lamp of knowledge, Krishna consciousness. And they all became Krishna conscious and became devotees. And they all started chanting. All the Mayavadi sannyasis became devotees. The whole of Banaras 500 years ago became devotees. And by making them devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pleased his devotees, Chandrasekhar Acharya and Tapana Mishra, because they were all very upset, you know. So he killed two birds with one stone. He pleased his devotee and he also converted all the Mayavadis to become devotees of the Lord. So that is the story. That's why I was saying that Prabhupada took the right story, you know, to tell how these people can become devotees. So the other thing is, we need to know special mercy, okay, to these people. What about to devotees? Somebody was saying last week that, you know, you're a devotee, why you need special mercy, why you need the understanding, why? You don't. But because, even though you're a devotee, you have an attachment to this material world. You're still attached. So, the first stage of devotional life is Shravana Das. Shravana Das is the stage of hearing. Now we don't understand. This is, you can find this in the Nectar of Instruction. Right? Rupa Goswami wrote this. Nectar of Instruction. The first stage of devotional life is Shravana. Stage of hearing. So the devotee, having heard from sadhus, okay, that's why it's important, huh? You must have sadhus. Importance of spiritual life. The infallibility of Vedic scriptures and the supremacy of Sri Hari. A devotee develops faith in these principles, followed by a great eagerness to enter devotional practice. This is the first stage. Right? And the second stage, Varanadas. And Varanadas is, you have mastered the guru. You must adopt chanting. You must hear Krishna Katha. And you must formally commit yourself to devotional life. Now this Varanadas, the second stage of devotional life, is accompanied by taste for the holy name. Attachment to hearing Krishna Katha. And as you do that, you're propelled, you're forced, Sivrena again, you're propelled by intensifying attachment to chanting the holy name in ecstasy. And then, you attain the stage of remembrance, Smarana Vasta. Now this Smarana is remembering, you know. So this remembering is divided into five stages, according to the level of remembrance achieved by the devotee. Again, you see, the first stage of this Smarana Das is Smaranam, recollection of Krishna's pastime. Initially, you are restless, you are agitated, you try to remember Krishna, but you remember something else. You remember your work, your family, all these things. Your mind is moving. So, concentration on Krishna takes time. So when you have pulled your mind back, what happens? Then the second stage comes, dharana. Dharana is absorption in Krishna's activities. In preliminary purification of the mind, a slight ability to dwell on the Lord's pastime, you are able to remember. When you do that, slowly, you progress to dhyana, meditation. You're able to meditate. You're able to fix your mind into the thought of the form and the pastimes of the Lord. Specific pastimes you can now remember and you can meditate. And then you become dhruva. Dhruva Anumrita, it is constant remembrance of the Lord. This is by chanting, okay? Okay, this is by chanting, not that you just sit down in one place and do this. That means when you start chanting, you must chant nicely first. Then as you chant and hear, Smaranam comes, the remembrance comes. And this remembrance, you are trying to achieve the constant remembrance. This constant remembrance means whenever you chant the holy name, you remember Krishna's form, name, qualities, pastime. Everything appears in your mind when you chant. The final stage, before the final stage, you get what is called apanadas. Apanadas is assimilation. That means this time you know your Swarup Siddhi. You know what form you are. This is very high already. And then, during this time, you develop samadhi, trance. Prabhupada describes this as the perfect stage. During this stage, all incompatible material concepts that may have remained in the mind are swept away by the internal energy of the Lord. And one is situated on the transcendental platform above, abandoning all identity with the material body. And finally, in Sampattidhar, Krishna removes you from the material world, go back to the spiritual world. So in the fourth stage also, can you imagine, you still have attachment in this material world. And this is why Krishna, with the shining lamp of knowledge, destroys this ignorance. He helps you. See, doing ourselves is not possible. Krishna must help. That's why you need the help of the Guru and Vaishnava. And hear the Krishna Katha. Even if you don't have, Prabhupada says here, if you don't take advantage of this literature, or the devotee, or the spiritual master, Krishna from within, as Chaitya Guru, gives you the intelligence. He gives you this intelligence so that you go back and take the association of the spiritual master and the spiritual literature. It's not that some people were speculating that, oh, I don't need Guru and I don't need literature by the Vaishnava. No. Krishna in my heart is going to give all this knowledge. No. Yes, he gives it to you because he wants you to go back and take association of your Guru and the Vaishnava and the scripture. It's very important. That is how he is going to help you go back to Godhead. That is special mercy. That is what he's going to do. He helps you from within and without. That is how he is going to do this. And we have to take advantage of all the Vaishnavas. I shall read the commentaries of Vishwanatha Chakravarti in Baladev Vidya Bhushana for text 10 and 11. Vishwanatha Chakravarti says, it is understood that the joy of the devotee described in the previous verse is spiritual bliss beyond the most. But which method do the devotees gain direct contact with you? And from what source do they gain realization? First, for text 10, Vishwanatha Chakravarti says, Krishna says this. Krishna says, I give Buddhi Yoga to those who are desirous of association with me constantly. Satata Yuktanam. This means that the Lord alone causes Buddhi Yoga, Bhakti Yoga. Prabhupada also translates Buddhi Yoga as Bhakti Yoga, to appear within the functions of their heart. This Buddhi Yoga cannot be obtained at all from any other source. Okay. It is given only by Krishna and received by the devotee only. By this bhakti they attain me. They attain direct association with me. The word used by Krishna here is payanti. They come to me. And Baladev Vidya Bhushana gives his commentary. He is asking this question because our questions are always there. But how is it possible for them to realize you has been endowed with infinite forms, qualities and powers just through the teachings of a guru? How is it possible? That's why people sometimes say, oh, I don't have the faith in the guru. How is it possible? So for them, again, Krishna says, this is Baladev Vidya Bhushana's commentary on text 10. For those who desire constant association with me, satata yuktanam, and who worship me with pleasure, priti purvakam, which arises from understanding me as I really am, I, relishing their devotion to me, offer to them intelligence, buddhi yogam. I produce in them the intelligence by which they can understand me, endowed with infinite qualities and powers, gunas and vibhutis, and by which they can then worship me and attain me. This is Krishna's comment in text 11. Vishwana Chakravarti comment, he asked this question: without the functioning of knowledge and other such elements, how can devotees attain you, and how can they even strive for that goal? How is it possible without knowledge and other elements? Because say Krishna says, to show them special mercy, I'll destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness of ignorance. That means I don't have to learn anything, I don't have to read, I don't have to have knowledge, right? But Krishna says, it is not necessary. Having the intention of giving the devotees mercy by all means, Krishna has this intention. Even without them having to worry about attaining my mercy, since I make the endeavor to give them mercy, sesam eva anukampartam, I, being situated within the functioning of their intellect, atma bhasvatava, by the lamp of knowledge, knowledge arising from bhakti, which is beyond the gunas, not sattvika knowledge, since bhakti alone can reveal me, destroy the darkness born of ignorance in them alone, but not in others like the yogis. I alone, aham eva, do this, all on my own. Why should they strive for this purpose? I have already said that I carry the responsibility of your spiritual and material welfare. Yoga shema vahami aham. I accept responsibility to supply all the material and spiritual requirements. Baladev Vidyabhushana, his commentary, he is asking, since devotees have been existing in the darkness of ignorance for such a long time, how is it possible that you can illuminate their heart? How is it possible? Krishna answers, not for the sannitas. Those who follow the path of Nishkama Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, and finally perform Bhakti Yoga, while at the same time practicing Varnashrama rules without desire. But for those who cannot maintain their lives without me, for my unalloyed devotees alone, Hesam Eva, since they are worthy objects of my mercy, Anukampartam, I, situated with attachment for those souls, Atma Bhavastha, like a bee in the lotus flower, reveal in their Atmas my dazzling form and quality. I destroy the darkness in the form of desires for objects other than myself, born from the ignorance, in the form of beginningless karma, which covers knowledge. Ajnana jam tamaha, by means of the glowing lamp of knowledge, jnana deepena bhashvata, concerning my form and quality. Krishna gives this special, not found anywhere else, only by him revealing it to you. I, who am satisfied with their exclusive devotion to me, who bear the responsibility for bestowing and preserving whatever they need, yoga shema, elevate their intelligence and destroy the ignorance within. I bear the responsibility for all this. They do not have to take pain for all this at all. This has already been stated with the verse 922, yoga shema vahami aham. These are the Vaishnava's commentaries on this verse. We shall stop here and ask if there are any questions or comments, or maybe, you know, I said something wrong. Correct me, please. If there's nothing, no question.
Commentary, your spiritual life is destroyed.
Yes.
Because if we hear, because if we hear it, because if you want to preach something, you have to hear what they're pointing out. And in one sense, it may affect our intelligence, our intellect. So, at what step, what is the how can we detect that? Should we present that?
Okay, the question is how to preach to Maya Venue. How to avoid or when to know how to preach. Actually, you can say that if you know the person is Mayavadi and you know you're not strong, don't preach. Simple. But if you don't know they are Mayavadi and you started preaching to them and you realize they are Mayavadi, walk away. But if you think you want to do something for them, give them a book. Better still, for Mayavadi, give them prasad. And then walk away. Generally, Prabhupada said, don't preach to Mayavadi. Try not to do that. Even Prabhupada himself did not preach to Mayavadi. There are so many Mayavadis, but Prabhupada did not preach to them. Even when he was living in America, I think he shared a room with Mayavadis and all these people, but he did not speak with them. When he was giving Bhagavad Gita class and they were giving their own nonsense, Prabhupada would just keep quiet, but sometimes he won't speak, he'll just chant Hare Krishna. Maybe we should learn from Prabhupada. If Mayavadi brothers are talking so much, let's ask them to shut up and we all engage in Harinam Kirtan. That is the best. The best is actually just give them prasadam, book, don't talk to them, walk away. Because I think most of us are not that platform to speak with Mayavadi. Because like I said earlier, no, they are very, very learned, you know. They know the scriptures inside out, outside in, backwards also they can. You know, they're very good, but they do not know the conclusion. So if you are a neophyte devotee and you hear from them, you become contaminated. You cannot understand what's happening and you become contaminated. You start feeling the yes, this is right, that is right. Maybe I should know, maybe there's no form, maybe there's nothing, you know, everything is here, you know. So we have to be careful with whom we take association with. Very important. So we also must be intelligent to know where we stand, how much we know. Am I in the Kanishta Adhikari platform, or Madhyama Adhikari, or Uttama Adhikari platform? Where am I? Definitely a Kanishta Adhikari first stage, you know. Definitely he won't know all the scriptures. His faith is very shaky. Today we say, oh yes, chant Hare Krishna. Yeah. Tomorrow they go somewhere else. Somebody will say, hey, do this, that, you don't do that. Oh, okay. Somebody will say, oh, this is God. Oh, yeah, okay. Blind fools, they accept everything. So, in the previous two verses ago, Prabhupada wrote in the purport that the bhakti is like a creeper. You're watering it with association and with chanting. And this creeper goes through, grows and grows and grows through the material universe and then goes into the spiritual world and stops at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. But as it is growing, if you stop chanting, if you stop associating, the flower, rather the creeper, dries up and dies. So very important to realize where you are. If you know that this person is talking, don't know what, doesn't make sense, walk away. Because Krishna conscious books, all the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam is presented in a very simple form so that everybody can understand. Not that I speak some nonsense and you don't understand, I don't understand. Everybody goes back thinking, oh, that person says something so deep, I cannot understand. That must be correct. That is wrong. We must know that. We must know our position, where we are standing. If you're not that strong, don't go and fight with anybody. Don't try and preach. Don't do anything. Just walk away. Give them prasadam and walk away. Thank you, Prabhu. You know, just like that. You know? No need to do that. Huh? Very important. And some people will present themselves as devotees. Right? Some people will present themselves as devotees in the garb of devotees in the Vaishnava Tilak, all these things, reading the Bhagavad Gita, but giving their own interpretation. Also, again, we must be careful. We have to be very careful, very important. And otherwise, you will be led astray. So, in your heart, you must pray very hard. Krishna, please protect me. Please give me your association and show me what to do, why to do, how to go. Mr. Krishna, in the heart, with a shining lamp of knowledge, tells you, go here, do this. He's in the heart as Chaitanya Guru, and he will appear outside as your spiritual master. He'll lead you, provided, of course, you are also sincere. Not sincere, you won't get. Sincere, then he'll give you Krishna himself. Otherwise, not possible. So we must be careful. There are many, many people going around taking Prabhupada's name, calling themselves Srila Prabhupada, writing a book, Bhagavad Gita, chanting Hare Krishna. They are not in the same position as Prabhupada, but they take Prabhupada's mercy and say, oh, I am bigger than Prabhupada. I am better than Prabhupada. How is it possible? You learn from your guru and you say you are better than your guru. So there are many, many things we have to be careful. You must be intelligent. That's why you must chant nicely. Come at least to the Madhyama platform. Madhyama platform means you know the scriptures. You know the Vaishnava, you can distinguish. Now of course, we strive for Uttama platform, then you know God is even better. Alright? Any questions? Talking about Prakashananda Saraswati. Okay. A few reasons. One is the desire of the devotee. You know, the devotee mentioned was the Maharashtrian Brahmana who wanted all these devotees, all these Mayavadis to become followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to get the mercy. That's his desire. The second reason is, of course, these Mayavadis, especially Prakashananda Saraswati and all of them 500 years ago, they were actually wanting to know who is God. They were reading the scriptures to know God. But as I earlier explained, they did not put the bhakti inside. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there to give them the bhakti, and then their jnana yoga became bhakti yoga. You see, karma yoga, jnana yoga, all these yogas is no use if you don't have bhakti. Because that it, you know, it doesn't go anywhere, and after that you stop. Yeah, what am I gonna do, you know? Stop. So bhakti yoga has to be added. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of his causeless mercy, gave them that. Simply by being in the association of these Mayavadis, they become devotees. You know? He expanded his effulgence. Everybody, you know, God saw him. Just like Krishna was in the Kurukshetra war, and by seeing Krishna, and when they were killed, they went back to Godhead. So by seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and hearing from him, you see, they saw him, they heard him. Understand? Shravana Kirtanam, Smarana. And they remember, oh yeah, this, I see, this is God. They are actually seeing Krishna. I mean, what more do you want, you know? We are not that fortunate. But those people who were fortunate, they were able to see Krishna standing in front of them. What, I mean, this must be their most, they must be most fortunate to have that association of the Lord simply by being within living devotees. There's no question. Of course, the other thing is Prakashananda, Saraswati and all that were eternal devotees of the Lord. That's another topic. Okay, anything else? Anything else? Yeah, we'll stop. Yeah, we'll stop here. Thank you for attending this Bhagavad Gita discourse. Grantra Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
This is now the beginning of 2008 and our voices should be louder and louder when we chant Hare Krishna. So can we try one more time to chant Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.
Right. Because at the start of the year, if we don't chant loud, I don't know what happens at the end of the year. Prabhu's Mataji, we are asking you today at this moment for 5 minutes to do an appreciation exercise. Now, why is appreciation important? When we appreciate a devotee, that means we are trying to serve the devotee. We are trying to understand the greatness of the devotee. And when we try and glorify a devotee, Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, becomes very important. That's how